You know, I thought a workshop on scripture memory, you could probably put everybody in the back of a Suburban that wanted to take it. So I thought about calling this Suburban Scripture Memory. Now, if I don't use this marker and this board, somebody remind me to scribble something on it so it looked like to them that I used it. They've gone to such a lot of trouble to provide it for us. Okay. I love to quote scripture. And I love to hear it quoted even more. And I love to pass it on. It's great stuff. Yeah, just move that on all over if you want to, Mark. Landon, is that your first name or your last name? First name, Landon. Marks. M-A-R-K. X. Okay, everybody's got it says the equipper. Everybody's got one of those? They're over here someplace. We had 168 printed. Cost $16.80. That's about 10 cents each. Not bad. Okay, this is going to be a kind of workshop where we definitely solicit your participation. And starting at 5 o'clock, we'll have a panel. And there's 1, 2, 4, 6, 7 people, including people who have been memorizing Scripture for 50 years. So get your questions ready that you want to ask. And you can ask Jim White or Virgil Coffey or Paul Purifoy or Jim Downing, Bill Schrock, or myself, or Doug Fisher. So we'll get them up here at the time, the proper time, and have about 15 minutes. So sharpen your question so that it, you know, is real clear. Think about it. Write it down if you'd like. And we'll have that as our final thing. Can you hear me okay? I have Parkinson's disease, and one of the problems with it is your voice gets softer, and especially if you use it a lot. So I figured that was probably testing my strength of voice by being here today. It's great to be here. Let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for giving us your Bible, your precious, wonderful, powerful, clear, clean, all-compassing, an answer for every issue that we face. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for giving it to us through the translators, through the people that wrote it down so it could be passed forward generation by generation and arrive in our hands in so many different forms. We're so fortunate. Thank you for giving it to us and for giving us this idea from Dawson Trotman and others, many others, of committing passages to memory that would be effective and helpful. Thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's see. Do you know your telephone number? How many know your telephone number? Okay. Turn sideways. I like to get a little participation right away. Turn sideways to the guy next to you and tell him your phone number and your email address. Oh, handouts? Right back there. Right back there where the red shirt is. Okay. That's the way we whistle in Chickasha. I grew up in Chickasha. I learned how to whistle like that over there. It's two tones at once. Now I can't do it. Oh, well. Okay, now we've established... We've established that you can all remember things. So if you're having trouble with scripture memory, it's not that you can't remember. It's there's something else. So we need to move on and figure out what the something else is and apply our best knowledge and exercise toward it. By the way, enjoy memory while you can. My father-in-law, Rafe, had Alzheimer's, my wife's father. And he got to where he couldn't say anything, but he could sing. And he died of Alzheimer's. And Gene Warr is the man that discipled me. How many of you know who Gene Warr is? Okay, look around. If you don't have your hand up, look around at somebody and say, who is the Gene Warr guy? Because he's very familiar to people that attend this regularly. But a year and a half ago, Gene Warr died of Alzheimer's. And when I first was, he was kind of laid up. And I would go talk to him and I would say, I would say some verse and leave off the last one or two words and he could finish it. Yeah, he could finish half the verse. And then he got less and less and he would sort of recognize when you finished, but you'd have to finish it all. And then he got to where he would make a noise, but nothing noticeable or legible, is that, or audible, that you could understand. And then he died. And one of the reasons that this is poignant for me personally is my wife, by the way, sends her greetings. That's Norma. And she's at home back there in Dallas. And this is a picture of both of us. You can see it a little better. She's a beautiful woman. And she has Alzheimer's. Kind of an early thing. And we're just learning how to do that. So enjoy memory while you can. I forget the number. I wish I had this for you. But after age 25, you lose something on the order of 200,000 brain cells a day. Of course, you got billions of them. But, you know, it's more difficult. And I even found that preparing for this, my memory verses are not as sharp. Now, John Crawford has some secrets, so ask him, because he does really well at it. So, if you read the little guidebook, you saw there were 4 points on scripture memory we're going to talk about. And they're motivation, instruction, continuation, association, and I added one, perpetuation. That's passing on to other people. So let's start by talking about motivation. Why do you want to memorize scripture? Let me tell you why I wanted to. I went to a Sunday school class up in Oklahoma City in about 1970 or 69. And the teacher was Gene Warr. And during the class, he quoted 5 or 6 or 10 verses that were just precisely to the point and clarified my thinking. And I was lost. I mean, I was an unsaved man. But the word had an effect on me immediately when I heard a businessman use it to apply to the business world. I thought the Bible was all about Paul and Barnabas and on a dusty road somewhere in the Middle East. But Gene Warr brought it right down to life and quoted those verses. And then he called on some people in the class to quote a verse. And they would grab out this little thing like this and sort of give the verse. Boy, I wanted to do that. I loved a challenge anyway. I worked my way through college playing in rock and roll bands. And then when I was in the Army, I was a paratrooper. So, I mean, I just always went for the extreme, whatever it was. And when I saw those guys, I thought, okay, I can do that. So I asked Gene, I said, well, after the class, he asked me. He said, I asked him, I said, do you really believe all that stuff about the Bible? And, you know, he didn't laugh. He just looked straight at me and said, I'm betting my life on it. And that was his evaluation of the Word of God. So we began to associate slightly through his class, and I said, well, I need some of those little cards. I didn't know where they came from, but I knew they were printed somehow. So I said, I need some of those cards. I want to memorize those verses that you guys know. He said, have you prayed about it? I said, no, I didn't know you had to pray about it. I want to do the Bible. Isn't it okay just to want to? He said, oh, no, you need to pray about something that important. Don't get started unless you've prayed it through. So I saw him the next week and I said, okay, I'm ready for those cards. He said, did you pray about it? I said, yes. Well, what did the Lord tell you? I said, nothing, but I still want some of those cards. So we had a mutually honest relationship right through. I wanted to make the team. And guess what? That's not the best motivation. But there's probably a little bit in all of us. Probably. A little bit. Just a tiny bit in all of us. But why should we memorize? Well, one reason is because God said so. Told us that we should do it. John 17:17 says, this is the great high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ just before his crucifixion. And he was talking about the people that he had ministered to. And he says, make them pure and holy through your words of truth, through teaching them your words of truth. It was his commitment to make us pure and holy through his words of truth. To me, the scriptures are like a landmine. And you deposit these landmines, these thoughts, these pure thoughts. You position them at various places in your mind, nearby where some temptations crop up. And you know where those places are. And I know where mine are, and I know where some of yours are, because some of us are going to have the same problems. And it's like a landmine. When Satan tries to creep in there and trip us up, he steps on a landmine and it blows up. And that's not biblical, by the way. But it's just the way I see it. It's the way I think about it. Because sometimes I'll have a verse that just pops up that I haven't even quoted for months, but it's just right for the occasion. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance everything that I have said to you, Jesus said. There's some myths of memory and meditation. And one is that I've got no strength. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's not a real good decision. Other people say, well, I don't have time to do this. I'm going to give you some calculations in a little bit about how many verses you can keep memorized if you'll spend a certain amount of time in reviewing. And I think you'll be surprised by the calculation. Matthew 6:33, I'll just give you a couple of verses here. I won't quote all these verses, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if I make it as a priority. Now, by the way, let me just say that God has a trick that he plays on me. And he, when there's a conference coming up and they're looking for a workshop leader, sometimes I get picked. And somehow they pick the very thing that I'm weakest at currently. And it's just kind of like a trick. And so I can always, if you want to know where I'm struggling, just look in the book and see if my name's beside a workshop. And that'll be it. That'll be the issue right there. They never ask me for things I'm doing really good at. It's the things that I'm kind of crumbling on. So when I was asked to do this workshop, I thought, okay, I've got X number of months to really bear down, put some first-class effort in it. And I even had a sort of a written-out plan of what I wanted to do to work on me, the messenger, before I work on the message. Well, I did hardly anything that I had on my list. So I'm going to ask you, if you happen to bump into me someplace in the next 6 months, say, hey, how are you doing on your scripture memory, by the way? And so then I'll say, well, I'm doing this. How are you doing? And we'll have a little chit-chat. So I don't come to you today as a guy whose scripture memory is sharp, ready to go, you know, first class. I come to you as a struggler. And I've got all kinds of reasons, but they're just excuses. They're not reasons. There's a lot of difference between a good sound reason and a reason that sounds good. I've got some of the latter. Okay, and then some people say that there's not much value in it, but 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's profitable for these things. The scripture, in verse 17, says the scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. So if you want to be equipped for all branches of ministry work, don't chase down, you know, all the different workshops. Start here, put it in application, and as Gene told me, if you work on the depth of your life, God will take care of the breadth of your ministry. And I found that to be true. Did you get that? If you concentrate on the depth of your life, God will take care of the breadth of your ministry. So I want you to spend a little bit of time here, just as long as it takes, to read page one in groups of two. Page one of this, and you can do however you want to. And once you finish reading it, talk to each other about it. This is written by Lauren Sanney. Now, before you get started, let me tell you the background on Lauren Sanney. Lauren Sanney was the president of the Navigators for 30 years. And after he quit being the president, he got cancer. And he came to us one day, and I asked him, we had a staff meeting over at Glenary. And I asked Lauren if he would come by and just talk to us a little bit. So he told us that he was in the hospital, and he was so weak that when he went to review his verses, he could only say one word at a time, and then he'd have to rest. And then he'd get up his strength, and he could say, so seek, ye, first. Can you just picture that? A man so weak that he can only say one word and then stop to rest. And he's resting a lot longer than I'm showing you now. But he told us, he said, this morning I was memorizing, and he gives the verse. So here he is, 80 years old, or about that, weak, still memorizing scripture. And that was quite a thing for us. And he wrote this once upon a time, back in February 1994. And this is a very valuable. It only costs 10 cents to make, but it's worth about $10, maybe 100 or 1,000. So I could pass this out, but I want you to read it now together. Just read the first page only, and then talk about it. Ready, set, go. They're back there on that. See where the guy with the red shirt? Right there. There you go. You have one more minute to continue discussing what impressed you. Yeah, I'll give you my copy. How's that? Yeah. No. I've got another one up here. I've got the original. Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Oh, well. Anyway, that's supposed to be a duck. Now I can't stop it. Okay, let's just kind of crackerjack, throw some thoughts out there. Why are you motivated personally to do scripture memory? Don't give us a long, just a couple of words. It's just, you know, like this, okay? Let's go. All right.
Ammunition
for?
Spiritual warfare.
All right.
I need it.
You need it.
Change me.
Change me.
Life-changing.
Say it again.
Life-changing,
transforming.
You have a very practical thing to speak into somebody's life.
Very practical to speak into someone's life.
Pace set.
Comforting. Comforting.
Prosperity.
What?
Prosperity.
Prosperous spirit. Okay, all right. That's right.
You have better analytical skills on the garbage you get from the media.
Better.
how to filter this, everything that's out there.
How to learn. It's kind of like getting up and looking above the headlines before you read the headlines of the paper.
Yeah,
that's good. All right, any others? A couple more quick ones.
Protection.
Right.
Promises.
Say it again.
Helps the thought.
Oh, great one. Perfect. Okay. Bible tells us to. All right. Say it again. Great. Okay, well, we've got plenty of good motivation. Let's talk about instruction. How to memorize. First of all, you need to get started. How many of you have memorized the topical memory system? Okay, that's about 31.5%. Here's what it looks like. And inside, you have a little freebie. It didn't cost anything, and it's about worth what it cost. But we have some improvement, and it's like this. See this? It's got plastic on the back, so you can see the one verse you're memorizing. And then it's got a place to put about 15 over here and about 15 over there. So you can put about 30 in there, and you can pack it up every day. Or you could have 10 of these, and if you had 300 verses or more. And these are pretty cool. And they were provided for us by Bill Schrock. Bill is a farmer in some huge metropolitan area out up there in Kansas. And he's a great servant. He's the one that's been busing your silverware and stuff at the diner. So write it on something. Now, this was the original approved school solution of what size they ought to be. And on the back, this is, I've got all my verses written out in cards of this size. And then years later, I found out why they're this size. It's so that in World War II, the sailors who were on board ship and doing their duty of watching over the ship to see if it didn't sink in the night or something. And there's a little coat, there's a little pocket right there, and this fits in that pocket. Well, I don't have one of those uniforms. So lately I've been putting verses on a business card. If you've been promoted a time or two, you've probably got about 2,000 or 3,000 business cards. Because when you buy a box, they want to sell you 1,000. So that'll take care of your scripture memory program for about the next 5 or 6 years. And they do the same way. In Dallas, I have a number of guys who use 3x5 cards. Because a 3x5 card will fit right in there just perfectly. And they don't all get excited about trying to write tiny, tiny, teeny like these are. So write it down. Pick some system. The beauty of this thing is they're arranged by topic. And I recommend everyone to go through this system to get started. Because you might be able to come up with another system, because there are all sorts of ideas in here. Ways to little quizzes to take, and it's just very helpful. Plus, they've picked out 60 verses here, which are the hit parade of scriptures of all time. When you memorize these 60, you'll hear them quoted in sermons and just all the time. So this is the hit parade, and it's very easy to follow, very motivating. And there are 60 verses in here. I think I said that. And this is the guidebook, which is just very helpful. When I did this, I had already finished a master's degree at a well-known Eastern university. But when Gene Moore passed this out to me, it was like gold. I was just so enthralled with it. And I had it in the old days when they gave you 12 verses, and then you had to send it in to Colorado Springs, and they would and sign that you had those memorized word for word, perfect. And then it would send you 12 more. And then you send that in a little card, and then you get 12 more. And when you got it all done, they give you a little plastic card saying you finished. Those are the good old days. But if you're helping somebody, you could say, okay, here it is. Here, I'm just going to give you the first 12 verses, and I'll hold the 48 until you got those, you know, down good. So that's topical ministry. Any questions about using some system like this? This is the best system there is. I mean, there aren't too many out there. Any questions or comments about that? Maybe something you found out that's really helpful? Anything? Okay, memorizing. I've got about 7 steps here. The first thing is to pray for ability, pray for motives, pray for enlightenment. Psalm 119:73. I have give me understanding of the scriptures because, and I have more insight than my leaders because I can't think of that verse. Psalm 119:73. It's a good one though. Next thing is have it a commitment to do it word for word. When I got those cards from Gene Moore, he brought those cards the next week, and he said, "Well, here are your cards." And so I memorized. There were five verses, beginning with Christ. Four verses in those days. So I memorized those verses that day, and I saw him the next day, and I quoted all those verses. Man, was I proud! I'm still a lost man. Okay, so take it easy on me, but. I was trying to make the team, and I quoted those verses. And he said, "Well, that's close." I said, "What do you mean, close?" He said, "Well, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you said make also, but it should be also make." I just had the two words turned around. And I said, "Well, it's close enough." He said, "Well, you need to decide whether you're going to memorize it the way it is or just come up with your own version." And he said, if you change a word here and a word there, you could be changing like a pillar in here and the whole thing could come falling down. You could be saying something that was untrue. Okay. So I decided right there and then to do my best to say it word for word. Perfect. Then write it out. We've talked about that, the various options that you have. There's something about, now, of course, with the topical memory system, they're all written out for you. But after that, you need a system. So write those verses out. Then study the context. I don't know how many times I've quoted a verse and then had somebody say, "Who said that?" Oh, I don't know. Because I didn't study the context. Study when the you study what's before the verse you're memorizing, what's after the verse. Ask yourself, why am I memorizing this? And kind of get some of the background of it and the context before you get started. That will keep you, will tend to keep you from using a verse out of context. There are some questions that the standard ones that know who, where, when, why, and to whom. And then mark the verse in your Bible. The way I mark it is I just circle the verse number of all my memorized verses. I have quite a few different Bibles that I am currently using all the time. And I'd like to have the verses indicated by circling the number. That way when I'm reading or referring to a verse, it reminds me, you've got this one memorized, Jim. Because I did not memorize all my verses in the same translation. But I will give you this advice. Make all your verses, memorize all your verses from the same translation. That just makes life a lot simpler. But the people I was around and the way the way it was done, was we just memorized from Living and 20th century New Testament and all sorts of different, you know, 10 or 20 Amplified, Phillips, Living, King James, RSV, etc. But let me encourage you to pick one and stay with it. And don't ever try to re-memorize your verses in another translation. It will scramble your brain up something fierce. Okay, then memorize one phrase at a time with the reference fore and aft. So You memorize the first phrase and the second. So let's memorize a verse. Let's memorize Isaiah 46:8. Isaiah 46:8. So look it up. And how many of you have the NIV here today? That's just about everybody. So we'll do it within the NIV. And write it down. Just write it in your notebook there or someplace. If you've got a business card, flip it out and write it on there. Now, we're going to memorize this verse one phrase at a time. So what's the first phrase?
Remember this.
Okay, that's right. All right, let's say it with the reference, then the verse, and then the reference. Like Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, Isaiah 46:8. Now, all we're doing here can be, all we're demonstrating is that you can memorize this verse in less than 5 minutes. I'm watching some episodes of 24, and a one-hour episode, when it's transmitted or broadcast, you can, if they squeeze out all the commercials, and you can watch it in 38 minutes. So you got, if you just turn the TV off during the commercials, you got plenty of time to memorize a verse a day. Maybe not keep them memorized, but you can memorize them. Okay, let's just do it again. Let's do it all together. Isaiah 46:8. Yes, Isaiah 46:8. Do it again. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this. Isaiah 46:8. Another time. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this. Isaiah 46:8. Okay, Will, Mark, Mitch, would you stand up and say that, just those two words and the reference?
Isaiah 46:8, remember this, Isaiah 46:8.
Okay, you got it? All right, good. All right, let's go to what's the next phrase? Okay, let's try to stay with NIV. Fix it in mind. What does that sound like?
Memorization.
Well, yeah, remember this. It's memorization, isn't it? Fix it in mind is something about your mental capacity is being brought into this, which would imply understanding and getting it to definite. Come down hard on it. Fix it in mind. So, the first two verses, first two phrases, remember this and fix it in mind. Let's say that second phrase. Ready, set, go. Fix it in mind. Again, fix it in mind. Again, fix it in mind. Again, fix it in mind. Let's meditate on it this way. Say the first word loud and then the other two not so loud. Then the second word loud and the rest of the other three not so loud. So, fix it in mind. Fix it in mind. Fix it in mind. Fix it in mind. Now, all that does is call. It's kind of like showing a spotlight on that particular word, and you can think about what if it left that word out? How would that change the meaning of this verse? Or what if we changed one of those words, maybe put the opposite in? How would that change the meaning? So these are some ideas of how to process as you're going through. So let's put it all together. Isaiah, we'll start with the reference and then the two phrases we know. Isaiah 56:8. Remember this, fix it in mind. Isaiah 46:8. I apologize for looking down at this. I've got the verse memorized, but somehow when I do this, I've got to look down. That's my weakness. All right, the third phrase is take it to heart. Take it to heart. All right, let's memorize that. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. This is very mechanical. What we're doing here is very mechanical. I'm going to do another exercise in a few minutes that is not quite so mechanical. It's also very enriching, however. All right, let's do, if we can, start from the... I'll tell you what, just do this to yourself. Say it over and over, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times up to this point, which would be the first three. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart. So go ahead and say it out loud, just to yourself. You know what I mean? Just quietly. All right, the next phrase is you rebels. Anybody qualify? Yeah, me too. Okay, who would like to try the whole thing? We need to go over it some more, I guess. Okay. Your name, I can't quite read it. Justin. Yeah, Justin.
Isaiah 46:8. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it back. Isaiah 46:8.
All right, good. Excellent. And that's about 5 minutes to memorize a verse like that. And this is a pretty short verse. But it's motivational. It pops right out there. It's a good verse. And in fact, they're all favorites of God. That's why he put them in there. But let's try it all together. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Isaiah 46:8. Have any of you memorized that verse before today? You didn't even know it was there, did you? Great. Okay, we've talked about memorizing the one phrase at a time. We've talked about learning the verse with the reference. The reason for putting the reference on both ends of the verse is it's harder to remember the reference because it doesn't have any information in it except the address. And if you say, like I did today, I was trying to think of 1 Corinthians 2:9, I just couldn't think of it because the reference had gotten cold and I couldn't turn to it. Somebody help me out, though. Then have someone check you for word-perfect recitation. I told you my story with Gene Warren. And then get every verse overlearned before proceeding. I made a list of some questions or some problems that I feel like plague people. And one is not memorizing the verse or overlearning it. Overlearn the verse. Overlearn it until it's coming out your nose. You know, say it and say it and say it and say it. And I can look back and the verses that have stuck with me and I can't forget them if I tried are ones I've overlearned. So overlearn the verses. That'll help you a lot. All right, what I want you to do now is to turn just what you're doing before with the pamphlet, the Equipper, and read the second page together. You've just got 2 minutes for this exercise. That's supposed to be a ooga ooga horn. I think it gets louder later. See if I can turn it off. There we go. Is this motivational, by the way, so far? Hope so. Well, I've got a video for you here, and this is a demonstration of review. Barney has memorized something, and Andy is going to review him. So see if you can apply this to scripture memory. Ready, set, go. Can you hear it?
Yep.
I got to think about my own school and I got that up. My own history book.
Bernard B. Fife. This book belongs to Bernard P. Fife. If lost or stolen, please return to Bernard P. Fife. Signed, Bernard P. Fife. Do a book?
Yeah. Look at the next page.
The History of the United States of America by Bernard P. Fife.
Well, remember how we used to paste our own names over the author?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've had this a long time.
And you want to know something? There's things right there in that book that I learned that I still remember to this day.
Oh, come on.
To this day. It's amazing how that stuff stays with you. Once you learn something, it never leaves you. You stay locked up tight right in your room.
Does it?
Sure. Here, let me show you. Constitution of the United States. Now, we get to memorize the preamble of that. And I still remember.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. Hold the book on.
All right, go ahead.
Constitution of the United States.
Yes?
We the people.
I'll take it from there. By the way, you can get a copy of this this blurb through the discipleshiplibrary.org, along with lots and lots and lots of other things. Okay, just real quick, what did you learn? What did you observe? That's right. What about the review process? How did Andy do as a reviewer? Kept giving in, yeah. He was tired.
He did it word for word.
Yeah. When you review somebody, this is the way I do it. Don't stop me by telling me what the word is. Just indicate with like just the uplifted finger. There's something wrong with that. So I'll back up and do it again. And 9 out of 10 times I'll get it right the second time. But if I say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if I say, for all have sinned and come long... No! So don't just indicate to me that I made a mistake. Otherwise, I get intimidated. Okay. Continuation. Let's skip continuation. Let me just say, when behind and discouraged, press on. Don't compare yourself. Set your heart to be a finisher. Use the Bible in life and ministry. And here's something that if you've got 500 verses and more, well, I tell you, we'll save that for the question time. What I want you to do now is take the next 6 minutes and work on 1 Corinthians 2:9. Don't memorize it, just meditate on it. But you can ask yourself some questions like, who wrote it? To whom? Where does the ideas that this verse represents start it? Where does it stop? Does it not say? What are the opposites? Is there a list here? Is there a but or an and? And do this again in groups of two. And just meditate and wallow in the richness of God's holy special word here. This is a rich one. Bill Schrock. Come up and grab a chair. Paul Purifoy. Okay, who would stand up and quote this verse for us? As good as you can. Our friend here in the blue t-shirt. Would you like to give it a try?
No.
Try for it.
All right, go ahead.
No eye has seen, no ear has heard. What?
No mind. Sorry, I goofed you up. I should have just let you. I sure did. If I'd let you go, you probably finished it. He got 60-70% of the verse without actually trying to memorize it, just by meditating on it. Somebody else like to try it? We spent, by the way, the same length of time on this verse as we spent doing a mechanical learning experience, doing this one. Not quite, but it. It's not quite as efficient, effective use of time, but it's effective in how it brings us closer to God and gets us started down the road of meditating. Meditating on your verses is like taking your vacation photographs out of the shelf and looking. It's like going back to the same place that you were last summer. And for me, sometimes I'll be reviewing a verse, and I may have reviewed it 100 times. And all the experiences, and I may have used it, 80 times in actual ministry situations, or to encourage my own heart for needs that I have. So when I quote the verse or review it, it's like all the experiences, all the ideas just come flooding in at once. And it's just too good for words. As a friend of mine says, it puts you knee deep in liquid glory. There are two ways to be successful and continue. One is variety, and the other is consistency. And I go for variety because that's just the way I'm made. But this is where I've got my verses now. There's about 800 verses in this little folder. And I don't have to worry about losing the little cards. So this is all in the computer, and I update it about once a year. In columns. All right. Well, we've got these experts down here, and I'm looking at the experts. There's probably accumulated 12,000 verses between these men. So this is a massive experience factor, ready to answer your question. So ask a question for a specific. This is Bill Schrock. He's a farmer in Kansas. This is Doug Fisher. He's a engineer in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with an electronics firm. This is Jim Downing. Jim is he's up there. He's about 75. How old are you, Jim? 94. And he's been memorizing verses for how many years, Jim?
73 years.
This is John Repass, Disciple Maker Deluxe in Oklahoma City. And he's in the real estate business. And he has motivated me and instructed me probably more than almost anybody without knowing it. And this is Jim White, who last year, a year before last, quoted the Sermon on the Mount, just walking around through it between us, because he was the standby speaker, and the speaker got sick or something, and so Jim just stood up and quoted the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's 117 verses. So these men know what they're talking about. So let's ask questions. All right? If you give your name, too, so we know who you are.
I'm Dan Newton from Guthrie, Oklahoma, and I don't know who to direct this to. I'm just going
to let you ask it, and I'll take it from there.
Even though you've kind of mentioned it, I still want to know how you tie the address with Scripture itself. If you've got any other suggestions other than front and back.
Okay, somebody grab that one. The question is, how do you tie the reference to the verse, front and back?
Just how do you recall that? I mean, it's still the hardest part for me is recalling and tying. I might remember the verse, but I can't remember the address. And is there anything else that you're doing other than just overlearning it, I guess, is my question.
Okay, give Dan some help here.
I have sort of a knack for numbers. I don't think it's a matter of spirituality. That fore and aft, it really helps. I can be reading over in the Minor Prophets and stop in the middle of a verse, and many times my wife finishes the verse. But she has such a hard time with the numbers. It seems like every day or two she says, Jim, where's that such and such a verse? I called her today because it was one I couldn't remember. And she went and looked in the concordance because she didn't know, but she knew the verse. So I think some of it's a matter of getting. But I think that's fore and aft. And Jerry prays all the time, Lord, help me, because when I'm doing Bible study with somebody, I don't want to say somewhere it's written. But remember this, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, somewhere it's written. And that encourages those who can't remember the reference.
Okay, anybody else would chip in there?
Something that the Lord showed me last year that has really helped me with that very thing is what I call a date key review system.
A date?
If for every day, for example, February 22nd or February 20th, 2:20, that can be the key to a verse. So when you get up on 2:20, a verse that's 2:20, Galatians 2:20, for example. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. The day it came to me was March 13th, 3:13, Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as still called day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And you put those on a little 3x5 card or anything, and every morning when you get up, you look at your date. And you change them from year to year. You might use John 1:1 this year, and next year use Psalm 1:1. But that's a key. You know, that's just another little deal that will help you with the numbers.
It's a little tricky little deal, but yeah. I used to write the reference on my... If I was memorizing a verse on that day, I would write the reference on the crystal of my watch. And every time I'd look to see what time it is, I would go through the verse. Yes?
Eric down in Little Rock, Arkansas. Still memorize new verses, and if you do, have you changed tactics on to memorize them thoroughly? Because I'm in my mid-40s, I'm finding that harder to do. And then how do you mix in, three questions, do you still memorize new verses? Have you changed tactics on to get them down solid? And then how do you mix in meditation?
I do memorize new verses, and it used to take an hour, it may take a day. Or more.
Yeah.
But I do memorize the new ones. What was that question?
Well, you can answer. You have changed tactics or it takes you longer to do it. I guess that and then also on meditation, how do you do your meditation?
Yeah. I generally have two or three subjects that I'm studying or teaching. So I try to keep all the verses on that subject sharp so I can quote them from memory, you know, just quite a wide range of them. Now, as far as meditation is concerned, those of you who read my book on meditation know that I feel the key to meditating is the subconscious mind. So I try to pick the verse the night before to meditate on. And Proverbs says, when you sleep, they will keep you.
when you awake, they will speak to you. When you go, they will lead you. So I try to pick a verse to meditate on the night before. Let the subconscious mind do most of the work, and then recall it maybe 6 or 8 times during the day. I've met people with various techniques. One bus driver in Manhattan, that every time he came to street number 10 or 20, he would recall and meditate on the verse. Out to the Air Force Academy, I used to tell the cadets, they used to have to march between classes. Well, that's dead time, to march between classes, so that's when you recall the verse and meditate. So I think the secret is put it in the subconscious mind, last thing going to sleep, and then in the morning recall it, and then have set times during the day to recall it again. So recall is a key word in there.
You really redeem the time that way. Okay, another question. Any other, anybody want to add to that, the reference thing?
Is everybody still memorizing new verses, or are they locked in on what they already know?
Jim, let me comment on that, on the references. One thing that really helps is when you memorize it, if you be sure that you study the context of the verse. And the more you do Bible study, the more you know what the major points are in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And this afternoon I was looking into some things. I thought, oh yeah, that's in Philippians 4 that I was going to. So memorizing the verse, but being familiar with the context, can help you, if not remember the specific verse, to know where to go and find it.
One of the things I do, Dan? Eric, is I'll write out the reference in the first 2 or 3 words and do that for like 100 verses. It takes quite a bit of time. But it's amazing to me how adding that one dimension of the use of the muscles and the eyes, seeing it and writing it helps a lot. And then I'll turn around and give the last 2 or 3 verses, 2 or 3 words in the verse, followed by the reference at the end. So it does 2 things. It helps me to remember the way the verse starts and the way it ends, and I'm just left with what's in the middle. All right. Doug, you got something?
Eric, you asked about, you know, fresh review versus, fresh new memory versus review.
Right.
Frankly, I struggle with that. I find myself, I was sort of sharing with Fred a few minutes ago, I find myself getting strong in review and then backing off new memory, new verses. Or strong in new verses, but back off on review. So it's, you know, it's something you just have to keep working at. For me, it's just a mental exercise. I can't slack off. I need to press again and get those new verses through Bible study, through quiet time, to message that I'm hearing, whatever. I just ask God to give those fresh new verses and just be committed to it. But it's, for me, it doesn't come easy. I struggle back and forth with that. Well, that encourages you.
Yep.
It's the reality.
No,
okay, another. Oh, John?
Go ahead. Yeah, new verses. One time back in 1967, I was just getting started in scripture memory. Before most of you were born.
That's right.
Gene Moore came down to OU where we were, and he brought Doug and Leela Sparks, and you may not know who they are, but they were directors of the Navigator work in Europe, Middle East, and Africa at the time. And Leela has written a little book called A Godly Woman. And so Gene typically asks people to go around the table and share the latest verse, and went around to Leela, and she said, well, I don't have a new verse. She said, I quit memorizing. So nobody is more obnoxious about scripture memory than the guy who knows about 30 verses, and that is me. So I bit on that one, and I said, well, why would you want to quit? And she said, well, she said, you know, I've got these 4 kids, and she said, it's all I can do to hold on to my back review system, which has about 2,000 verses in it. So I shut my mouth and didn't say anything. I would say there's a time coming when you're going to have to back off on new memory verses and won't be able with staff to review. Maybe that's going to be 5,000 verses per year. Maybe it's going to be 1,500. Maybe it's going to be 500. So figure out what you want at this point in your scripture learning and go for it. You may want a book of scripture like Philippians, 104 verses. But make a plan and don't get caught in the deal where you spend a lot of time memorizing things and you wish you could do more. Your mind will drop off. I still memorize new verses, but I don't try to do as much. I focus on holding on to what I've got, and I'm satisfied with that. If I have to have one, I'll get it.
Let's see. Jim, you...
Jim, we're hung up in the court. Sorry.
I had an answer, a good answer, but now I forgot what it was. I got so excited there. New verses. Amen to the above. Bill, you got anything for us on that?
No, I guess the most profound thing that's going to stick with me today is he said, enjoy your memory while you get it. I'm there now where I'm starting to lose it. See, I don't even remember the question. I just pass on a few things. One thing is the reverence is really, really because you're not going to carry around a concordance with you. So nail the numbers down. Some of the numbers are like 316. There's a lot of 316s of parable verses, not just in John. Little things like that. I guess people that are in the memory, they associate, have association, and that's how they learn a lot. I'm up here today because I'm a farmer. He wanted a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. I'm a farmer. So, see, if you read that verse, you think about the soldier is trained in warfare, and the athlete is trained by a coach, and a poor old farmer like me, we just look what Dad did, and the neighbor did, and then if we have a hunger to learn, we check out test trials and things like that. So when it gets all settled, the next verse behind those three things, topics are, God gives you the understanding. So that's the key to it. You know, it's real. Scripture didn't say that the power is in the Word. Does that sum it up pretty good?
That's good. I've got a verse that it says, your trouble is you don't know, this is Jesus speaking, you don't know the Scriptures and don't know the power of God. It's a nice verse. I can't think where it is, however. So I'm going to have to find it. All right, another question. Yes.
Eric Shree from Fayetteville, Arkansas. How do you move beyond memorizing to truly learning it and committing it, having it a part of it? That's what I struggle with, is I can remember it for 2 weeks, 2 months, but then I don't know it. It was just truly just memorized.
Somebody want to give a thought to that? Jim?
I think the secret of that is just what Jim Downing was talking about. Memory goes from the Bible to the head by scripture memory, but it goes to the heart by meditation. And Howie Hendricks says, if you ever need a sanctified imagination, it's in studying and meditating in the Bible. And you need to see it, you need to hear it, you need to smell it, you need to touch it. Get in that situation, and the person who wrote this had something in mind and get behind his feelings. And when you start visualizing a verse and seeing how it works, seeing it through the eyes of faith, I think meditation is the key. And by the way, the scriptures do imply strongly scripture memory, but it really emphasizes meditation in Joshua 1:8. And in Psalm 1:3, and by this he says you'll prosper and you'll be able to stand in the hour of heat in your life. And 19 years ago, when a man walked into my house with his wife and five kids and put his hands on my shoulder, and said, your son Jimmy has been in a motorcycle accident and he's dead. And I'm telling you, it was like I was hit by a baseball bat. But immediately, the verse, the words that John John wrote, that Jesus said to Mary and Martha with the death of their brother, immediately came to my mind. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And that's John 11:40. And it just held me like a vice. And so I think meditation, and when you memorize one, ask God, just ask Him, help this, weave this into my character, weave it into my thoughts, and so that when I'm out and a situation comes up, that these verses will come to me. And I think that the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus said, when He has come, He will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So I think that's a long answer to the question, but I think meditation is the key. And I am not putting on cards new verses anymore. I take a section about like that and I review it for a week and then I move to the next one. And it takes me about a year and about 15 months to get through all my back review. And I just am having the time of my life meditating. As I'm walking on the treadmill or out walking is when I meditate. And I meditate with my wife on verses. So I think the key to getting it down in your heart and into your life is meditation.
Once upon a time, my church was electing deacons and I politicked. And I would, you know, what the way you do that is you go to the Wednesday night dinner and a brotherhood meeting and you make sure that everybody knows your name. Hi there, I'm Jim Kennedy, number 72 on your list. And so I was politicking to get elected as deacon. And when they announced the deacons had been elected, and I didn't get called for the first one, and I thought that's because they're going to, the best ones are coming in last. They're listing in order of number of votes, starting with the least number. And when I was voting, I thought, should I vote for myself? I'd hate to win by just one vote. So I voted for somebody else. And what you do is you vote for somebody who doesn't have a chance of being elected. And that protects your vote. And I could teach Bill Clinton a thing or two, probably. And so they announced the winners. I wasn't the winner. And one of the deacons said, You only missed by one vote. So I could have voted myself in. So that was Sunday night. And I was really a big time doing all kind of stuff at the church. And I got in my car and I had a practice of putting about 30 verses in a pack like this, maybe 50, and review them on that day. And the pack for that day was the book of Psalms. And so I put it on the dashboard. And usually I would drive and do that. And I've only had two wrecks, driving and reviewing scripture at the same time.
Anybody hurt?
No, nobody was hurt. Just two wrecks. The car was bent up a little. So, but on this particular day, I didn't bother because I was mad at God. I was mad at the Bible. I was mad at every one of those people in that church. And because I didn't get elected. And I was doing a lot more ministry and Bible teaching than any of those people that got elected. And man, I was sore. And finally, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd stopped and I had 3 Dr. Peppers. And I was just trying to, you know, get my life back together. I hadn't touched these verses. So I reached my hand up there, you know, and started going through it. And it was like angels and Billy Graham. And who's that guy with Campus Crusade?
Bill Bright.
No, Bill Bright, but the other guy, the younger guy. Who? Anyway, he knows all about the Bible.
Josh McDowell,
thank you, sir. That all those guys got together and said, let's put some verses in here that will show this Hanyak how prideful he is, but also how much we love him and how we've accepted him. And it was just like I was... anyway, it was overwhelming. All my needs were met. And by the time I got home, I was floating on clouds. Although I lost. I'm still lost. Okay, Jim. Sorry.
I just wanted to respond to the question. I think most of us have two lists. One list is a list that was made up in a class we were attending or somebody else suggested. And then the other list, we're reading the Bible and we see a verse. I want to have that one. So you just drop what you're doing and get it. And the ones that the Lord lays on your heart like that, that you just got to have, you can't forget. The ones you forget are the ones that somebody else regimented you to memorize.
I put something on the back page of my Bible called FM, Future Memory. And if I look at all my Bibles, I probably have about 30 or 40 or 50 verses in advance ready to memorize when I get ready. If I'm on a procedure where I want to do a certain number of verses. But I think you've seen that we're across the map on different ways of accomplishing that task. Okay, another question. We've got 3 or 4 minutes. Yes, in the back. Hi, Dave.
Jake.
How
do you live out? I'll make a comment on getting meditation. I'd say also share with others.
Hey.
Once you get it out of your mouth, it kind of sticks to your heart, and someone else may have something to say about that. So that's helped me a lot. Unfortunately, I don't practice that much. But how do you live out Deuteronomy 6 and Colossians 3:16? You know, it says you shall talk about these commandments when you sit in your house and you walk by the way and you lie down and you rise up, and then may the words of Christ dwell in you richly. How do you have like practical ways of doing that with brothers or with a group of people without being too kind of, you know, bringing up, you know, being going against the grain in the conversation, but at the same time you want to be productive. You know the devil doesn't want to bring in the word of God because it is living and powerful. And then, as far as with your wife as well, what are other practical ways?
Okay, summarize that question.
What practical ways have you performed in incorporating scripture memorization / meditation around fellowship?
Would you like to summarize the summary? Okay, that's good. Who wants to tackle that? John Repass.
You know, one of the things I found that really helps me is I do verses with men when I meet with them. You meet with guys, and you're asking them to memorize scripture, then you can keep them faithful. But to do that, you have to demonstrate that you are faithful. And so in the context of sharing those verses, of quoting them to other guys, I often, just so often, preach what God gave me in the verse. And that's a real help. And my wife and I sit at the table and she'll share something, what she got out of her quiet time or a verse we're working on. So it's just a habit of life. Just make it in your plan. Do it with guys. Meet with somebody. And then just let's share some verses and do it on a regular basis.
I had a chance to give a testimony and I had a buddy with me that I was meeting with. And I said, we sometimes go over scriptures and test our memory of those word for word. Isn't that right? And he said, every time. So if you just make it part of the process, nobody, you know, it's not a big deal.
When I'm sharing, maybe I'm meeting with a fellow that one-on-one and trying to help him grow, and when a verse comes to mind that I memorized, rather than quote it to him, I just give him the verse. And I'll say, what does that verse say? And that gets him into the scripture, okay? I don't need to quote it to him. Most times in that environment, he can look it up in the Bible, and you can sit there and you talk about it, what that means to you. When it comes to like being in a social at church, or even in the context of a non-Christian, where I will stop and say, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, and then I'll quote the verse. But I don't give the reference. And I found that if they're really genuine about the conversation, they're really interested in what the Bible says, they'll ask me what the reference is. But if I give them the reference, they say, well, you know, look at how impressive he's trying to, you know, impress me. So I, that's just two ways that I do that, just to sort of disarm the non-Christian and at the same time challenge the Christian to dig it in, you know, look it up for yourself.
We didn't talk really today, thank you, Doug, about how to get started. But you could talk to these men over breakfast or lunch or something, and how do you get started with a new disciple in terms of Bible study, reading, memory, and so forth, meditation. Okay, we've got time for maybe one more. 10, 9, 8, yes. Bill Kennedy.
Day that you review your verses, do you do it at the same time every day? Is there kind of a habit of, as far as when you review verses?
Go ahead.
I'll give it to Jenny just a second, but my first thought is, no, I don't have a certain time. Like Jenny mentioned earlier, you know, you just redeem the time. Like if you're standing in line for something, or yeah, that's what gave you a flashback. When I was in the Navy earlier in my years, I was on an aircraft carrier. On an aircraft carrier, you got about 5,000 other guys. So when you're on anything on the carrier, you're always standing in line. So you always have plenty of time. So what I found out later is, as I would stand there and just review verses, that it also turned into a great opportunity for evangelism. So I turned to the guy who was either in front of me or behind me, and I said, hey, I'm working on this scripture memory thing. Would you be willing to help me? Would you, read these cards, don't tell me what they say, and I'm going to quote it, and tell me if I'm doing it right. I never had anybody refuse to do that. Matter of fact, God used that later on in evangelism, where we go out on the ship to talk with guys intentionally at an evangelistic event, where I found guys that I had shared verses in those chow lines and so forth, that now I got him an evangelistic opportunity, and he remembered the conversation we had before. So anyway, you just redeem the time, whatever time of the day it is. That's my only challenge.
Pass it to Jim, and then Bill.
Bill?
Well, yeah, everybody has something on this. I give up.
To me, it's still important to change the time of your study, because if you say a verse in a short period of time, 5 times, it seems like the mind has a problem getting rid of some of that. But if you say it 5 different times during the day or evening or whatever, I think that's how it's helped me a lot.
That's good. I needed that. Thank you.
In the Methodists, we're big on quiet time. And we don't very often talk about the purpose of the quiet time. People ask me, how long should you spend in the quiet time? That's the wrong question. What's the purpose? I believe the purpose is to restore my relationship with God to the highest degree of harmony possible. That may take 5 minutes, it may take 5 hours.
That's right.
In that restoration process, I think of a verse that's ministered to me. So that's a great time to recall and review some, is right during the quiet time, because that can be a part of the restoration process.
Okay. John, everybody else is, so you might as well, you two guys.
Okay. Here we go. The greatest victory I ever had was when I had a 30-minute commute each way. That's the time that I got started in scripture memory. To have a time like that.
In your car?
In my car.
Any wrecks?
Not so far. Today, my commute is not near that long, but here's what I would say to you. Have a backstop. My backstop is, I don't go to bed unless I got them done.
Whoa.
I had to get up at 1 in the morning, and God would bring to mind after my head hit the pillow. Not very often, but I'm just telling you that, you know, you can commit to a standard like that and live by it. Not for legalism, but just because you want to be faithful. Okay? So have a backstop.
I needed that too.
You use the card system, and you, in your back review, you go through it a few each day or each week or something like that. You go through it. That's one way. But I know for the last 58 years, I've tried to read through the Bible once a year. And so when you're reading your three or four chapters, you're going to run across some of those memory verses. And as you're reading, to just stop and review those. So you get a two-pronged review. You get it from your reading program, and you also get it from your cards.
Okay, let me just close off with one thing. Just put it down, yeah. If you want to know how many verses you should have memorized, come talk to me. I've got a little, I can't think of the word. I've been, a chart, what is it, the green and the, spreadsheet. Union. I could do this. But I can calculate how many verses you could have if you could spend an hour a day or an hour a week or, you know, something like that. Thank you, men, so much. That's very good. Let's give them a hand. And Bill Kennedy, would you just close us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this time this afternoon to be encouraged and challenged about hiding your word in our heart. Lord, we do pray for each one of us that the word that we memorize would be indeed hidden not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And Lord, purify our motives and help us to just love you and sense our need of you so much that we would eagerly read your word and memorize it and meditate on it to really hide it in our hearts. Lord, each one of us is here today because we have been challenged about memorizing your word, and most of us have seen the value of it, but we all struggle. So, Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us as we leave here and head home. Give us a plan and give us hope and give us a strong motivation to follow through to continue to hide your word in our hearts. Thank you so much for Jim Kennedy and for his love for you and his willingness to share with us today. In Jesus' name.
This is going for $5, and they usually go for about twice that. So pick up one, and you can deal with the issues of pride or something or later on after you get these memorized. 60 good ones. Hit parade.